I will say good evening to those who are joining us from afar. And say that, again, that we've often had evening talks at Sesshin, but it's only been since we've gone hybrid and high-tech that we have synchronized the evening talks with Monday night Zen U and with Wednesday night regular practice at the Zendo. At least that's our hope, that that will work. And Sunday morning. Were people, was Wall Street here Sunday morning?
There was a bunch, I believe so, actually.
I didn't check. This multi-location Zendo is quite remarkable. We could never have imagined 3.5 years ago. But we are here at Brew Creek listening to Dogen's Mountains and Waters Sutra. And we're practicing outdoors in this beautiful setting with the waters of the creek babbling along through this forested valley. Michael and I just walked the trail that goes up to the top of the valley and circles around back. And has anyone else been up there? And there's some beautiful big trees up there and big boulders. And we heard a pika. You know what pikas are? Yeah. They look like little rabbits, except they have little round ears. And they live in the boulders. And they go, eh! Only a little bit higher. But I thought that particularly for the benefit of the folks who are joining us who haven't been here for the Dogen talks, that what I'd like to do tonight is invite you to do a little contemplation of the elements with me. Because mountains are the of the earth element, and waters, of course, are the water element. And, of course, the others are fire and air, and in Buddhist thought, the fifth element is consciousness. And contemplating the elements is a practice that goes way, way back to the very earliest teachings of the Buddha. It's found in the Pali Canon. So I'm going to elaborate a little bit, bring it up to date. And tonight we'll just contemplate the earth and water elements in keeping with our theme. I really love contemplating the elements because I think they're good for us, because they remind us that meditation is not something we do just with our mind. And people have a tendency to think that the mind is located up here, you know, in our brain. But our mind is located throughout our body and beyond our body. Our body is very, very permeable. And these contemplations of the elements have us contemplate the element, each element within our body and all around us. So let's start with earth. We certainly need the earth element in our body, in our lives. The earth element is characterized by solidity, by mass, and you can experience the earth element in your body in its shape and weight. So let's just take a few minutes to do that. I want you to invite you to close your eyes and really feel the weight of your body on your seat. And feel the pressure of your feet on the floor. This is the power of gravity. You would feel quite different on another planet. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you are held in place on this earth by gravity. And we don't even think about it. Gravity controls how far and how fast you can move. You may think how far and how fast you can move depend on how strong and fit you are, but the earth will inevitably put you in your place. So feel that solidity of your body as you sit. Start to be aware of the supporting structure of your skeleton holding you upright. And the muscles and tendons and cartilage connecting your bones, allowing for the moving parts of your body. So I want you to take your hands and actually start, you know, maybe try your elbow. You know, feel how hard your elbow is. And then move it around a little bit. See how that works. Feel the hardness and the softness. And then maybe use one hand to feel the bones of your other hand. What an amazing piece of work your hand is. And then if you can reach around and feel your backbone. How we take our bones for granted, you know, until we break one. Oh, how can a tube of calcium filled with blood and marrow hurt so much? Or when our joints begin to suffer the wear and tear of life. Now feel the hardness of your teeth. Feel them with your tongue. And feel a moment's gratitude for the hard work they do of biting and chewing and preparing your food for digestion. We take our teeth for granted too until you know what. And now feel your nails. There's a flexible hardness there. They're not as useful to us as they were to our evolutionary ancestors. We hardly need them, unless we're musicians, or unless we make them a fashion accessory. But imagine how essential they'd be if we had to climb trees, or dig in the earth to forage for grubs. Or to be safe, to make a den. Okay, now I feel your skull. Knock, knock. Who's there? Again, with a sense of some gratitude for the way your skull protects that delicate gray matter inside that coordinates our most basic and our most elevated capacities. And feel the way your eye sockets protect your vulnerable liquid eyes. Isn't that remarkable how that works? Fortunately, we are all pretty hard-headed, but anyone who has dealt with a brain injury personally or has been close to someone who has, gains a new appreciation for the skull and its vulnerability. And then there's this combination of hard and soft, you know, our flexible, permeable bag of skin that contains us. And its openings, which allow the inflow of nourishment and the outflow of waste. And then all that marvelous complexity of passages, moving blood and lymph and nerve signals and air and food through us. Now, let's break down the solidity of our body into the mineral elements that make us up, that we are reduced to when the life force no longer animates this bag of water and earth. We become what? A pile of bones, a puff of dust. What other beings will our earth elements become part of? Depends. If we want to be sealed up in a vault, or if we want to go back to the earth. And now let's shift our perspective and contemplate the earth element outside the body. Feel the firmness of whatever it is you're sitting on beneath you. And beneath that, the structure of this building, its foundation, resting on the body of this mountain valley. This mountain valley containing many living things. This ecosystem extending up into the mountains and beyond. And this great earth hosting this thin skin of life on her surface. And beneath that thin skin of life, both land life and sea life, is a crust. And beneath that, oh, then we come to fire element. We're not going to do that tonight. The molten core of this earth. This earth spinning, spinning, spinning in the solar system amongst other spinning bodies, moving at unimaginable speeds through the galaxy, through the universe, more and more bodies, celestial bodies, matter. How many living bodies have our elements passed through? How far will the elements that form us disperse when we are no longer our bodies? So now that we've grounded our awareness in solidity and firmness in the earth element, let's shift to the water element, which is characterized by fluidity. Right? We have both. And water is characterized not just by fluidity, but cohesion. Bit of a paradox there. Water is a very curious substance, isn't it? So let's experience the water element in our body first by putting our hands on our abdomen. And press in a little bit. Tends to be a bit soft and squishy for most of us. That's water. You've probably heard that our bodies are something like 70 to 75% water. And the salt water that fills our cells gives us our shape, fills us out, most of our weight. It gives our muscles their flexibility and our skin its suppleness. And as we get older, we get drier. And our skin is less supple, and our muscles less flexible. It's really important to hydrate as you get older. One of the most important things you can do for healthy joints is to stay hydrated. So now, instead of so much the bones, feel the muscles in your arm, how they're both firm and soft, right? Alternatingly. Contract, relax, contract, relax. How does your skin feel? Dry or moist? Notice through the day. It was feeling pretty moist yesterday in the dining hall. The water in us is what makes us buoyant when we float in the ocean. The water in us responds like the tides to the pull of the moon. The water in us rises as steam from our funeral pyre. Water lubricates all our hard parts and passages, the interfaces of our body. Feel the moisture in your eyes when you blink. Appreciate the cleansing quality of tears. And the mucous membranes in our nasal passages. How are yours today? We ask a lot of them, of our nasal passages, to handle the amount of pollutions and allergens in the air these days. Feel the moisture in your mouth. It would be really hard to eat without saliva. Another thing we take for granted. Water not only lubricates, but transports solid mineral matter throughout the body. This is water's cohesive quality, its carrying capacity. Water is the essential element for the amazingly complex and interconnected work of our systems, our digestive, circulatory, lymphatic, and immune systems. Couldn't function without water. Water carries nutrients in and flushes waste out unceasingly as long as we live. And if that ceases, we don't last long. Water circulates through the cells to combat infection. And the tears we are taught to suppress in shame and embarrassment are really cleansing us of toxins. Research has compared the composition of tears caused by irritation, like a piece of grit in your eye, with tears caused by strong emotion. They found that the first kind are just pure salty water, and the emotional kind are laden with stress hormones. So tears are your natural detox system. We can live without food for several weeks, but we cannot live without water for more than several days. Of course, all the elements are essential. The more we contemplate them, the more we see how inextricably necessary they are for our lives. So now let's extend the perspective to the water element around us. In a sense, it's the matrix within which we develop, right? We grow from conception to birth. We float in the amniotic fluid of our mother's womb. And many of us retain an affinity for that weightless feeling of being held in the embrace of warm, salty water. No wonder, huh? As you probably know, the salt content of our bodily fluids, our blood, sweat, and tears, is very close to that of seawater. So the sea, the water of the sea, was also our evolutionary mother, from which all life emerged. And then reflect for a moment on the hydrologic cycle, all the water in the world is continually being recycled, sometimes quickly, in a violent cloudburst, sometimes with infinitesimal slowness, the way water seeps through sandstone deep beneath the earth, or flows with the gravity of a glacier. Although some of those glaciers are flowing pretty quickly these days. And then think of all the plant roots all over the world, drawing water out of the soil, up into stems and trunks and into leaves, from which it's released back into the atmosphere. A large tree, look at some of these big trees here in this valley. A large tree is like a big hydraulic pump that can move gallons of water, liters of water a day. And these processes go on quietly and invisibly all day long without our giving it a thought, and yet we are utterly dependent on the water cycle. And that's the last page that I have here. There is some more to this extended contemplation that I might work into a Dharma talk. That's as far as we'll go tonight. And I hope you will take an increased appreciation and awareness of the earth and water elements that support our lives. In the days that we continue to spend here. So thank you for joining me in your little, for this little bedtime story tonight.